This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today I have a very important message for you. And I've been thinking about something the Lord had showed me a long time ago in my walk with Him. And this is back in, I would say, the 1990s. I was doing a lot of research, a lot of study regarding the early church and the changes that had taken place over history in institutional Christianity. A lot of changes had taken place from the original faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The Lord has called a people since the ancient times to be a distinct, holy people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, that they would offer sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God is worthy to be worshipped and given glory that's due His name. But God is holy. And what does that mean? I mean, He is so holy. The angels say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's separate. He's clean. He's completely separate from things of death and defilement. Completely pure. So pure, God cannot even behold iniquity. And that's why He has provided His Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that He was slain from the beginning of the world to redeem mankind unto Himself, that we would be that holy priesthood offering sacrifices acceptable to God. But yet you have religion, this paradox throughout ancient history, a paradox of a defiled form of religion that's unclean or going through motions. And God, after a time, He sends His servants, the prophets, to speak to those people to come back after they have started absorbing foreign influences, pagan gods, traditions, things of the world. What do you expect from the world but to be of the world? But the Lord has not called us to be of the world. He's called us out. That's what church means. That's what ecclesia means. Called out to be pure, that we would worship Him. So today I want to talk to you about holiness. About a year and a half ago, there was a study that came out and demonstrated something that you would perceive. If you're walking with the Lord and you truly have your eyes on Him, you can see that the condition of a religious world, the church world, is not pleasing to God. And it's fallen, even as ancient Israel and Judah had become degenerate, a degenerate seed. And displeasing to the Lord, you can see also that Christianity as a religion is defiled. And there's very little distinction between the religious world and the world. In terms of morality, fornication, adultery, murder, hatred, thievery, lying. These are things that ought not be in a Christian once you're saved. You should read the foundational work of the apostles, like Apostle Paul, telling you that these are the works of the flesh and they're not to have anything to do with you once you're in Christ. Well, as I was studying these things a long time ago, the Lord was showing me what had happened to the state of the religious world, Christianity, as a religion. He showed me that there'd be a double-edged sword coming of a message from God, which on one hand, it would be about the judgment of the Lord. But on the other hand of this double-edged sword message would be liberation or liberty that's in Jesus Christ. So the message is two-edged, judgment or liberty. Because see, God has called you unto liberty that's in Jesus Christ. When Jesus ministered to the religious world, He said, "You're slaves to sin. He that sins is a slave to sin. But he whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed." So the offer is to you and to me to walk in this liberty that God has provided, made a way to be holy unto Him. Praise God. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 to the religious world. "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. This thing about hypocrisy, the Lord is not focusing or concentrating about the Pharisees. He was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, which was hypocrisy. You don't have to be a Pharisee to have hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is wherever it is found, in the heart of men and women. This is what we're to beware of, leaven that is in our heart, acting one way when an altogether condition is the case. In religion, you have the status quo. You have this cooperation among each other of a game of religion. And it's like, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. You cover me, I'll cover you. And this is what the Lord is dealing with. See, if you're not going to come to the cross and crucify your flesh, if you're not going to deny yourself and follow the Lord, then you're going to just be playing a game. This is what hypocrisy is. There's many people that run a position of authority, whether TV, radio, churches, institutions, organizations, that have an image of religiosity or authority or Christ-likeness. But if you knew what they were doing in secret, you'd be shocked. You'd be absolutely amazed of the immorality, the fornication, the adultery, just like the world. But yet they'll act one way before the people, but another way in secret when the Lord sees this. A great exposure is taking place. So this is what I say. God's judgment is coming upon those that are playing a game with Him, that are hypocrites, that are full of leaven. That leaven is, if it's in your heart, you are completely corrupt, because a little leaven will leaven through and permeate through your entire life. This is the hour to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and be holy unto the Lord, that you can give Him glory and praise, because He's worthy of that. There's a new creation. And this is what the scriptures have taught us. In John chapter 3, you must be born from above. Or you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's below, which is of the earth, devilish, sensual, without the spirit. Adam was of the flesh. Though he was in the form and likeness of God, yet he chose to disobey God, and he died. But the Father has sent one from that is above, that sought not his own will, but he sought to do the will of him that sent him, and he laid down his life. He chose rather not to be taking it upon himself to be like God, but made himself of no reputation, and was in the form of a man, a servant. And this is Jesus our Lord. He died, even to the death of the cross. And therefore, it says in Philippians chapter 2, God has given him a name above all names, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This Jesus is the new man, created in righteousness and true holiness, that God's calling you into. And therefore, you won't be this duplicity. You won't have this duality in your life. From your heart, you'll have true separateness to God. You'll be pure, clean, holy unto the Lord. And that is the work of the Lord. You call on Him and He will do it. Scriptures are very, very clear. Well, I was mentioning about a year and a half ago, a study came out and they were talking about holiness. What is the role of holiness in the religious life? It was absolutely amazing. The statistics were something like less than 20% of professing believers in Jesus Christ even thought holiness was important. That's right. This study was showing that less than 20% of professing Christians, as I recall, didn't think holiness was important. Well, I'm looking at Hebrews 12:14, and it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." How important is holiness? follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. There's many going about religion for different reasons. There's even forms of religion that call you to be a sinner, that call you and hold you in this sinful manner of life. They're not looking for you to be changed. They're not promoting you to walk in liberty if that's in Jesus Christ. They're actually banking on that you are a sinner and that you'll remain a sinner, that you'll remain dependent upon the religious system. That's right. History bears this out. Because there's actually forms of religion that make merchandise of the people. They know that if people are sinning, they're slaves to sin, they're in bondage, and it's an agony. But the Lord has not called you into that. He's called you into liberty to be free, that you can walk with Him. One of the earliest things that my parents ever taught me as a child, it doesn't matter what the others are doing. You know, you give one excuse after another what the other children do, or what you see on TV, or what you hear in the school. Bottom line is, I'm ministering to you in the name of Jesus, because God's talking to you. And it doesn't matter what the multitudes do. It matters what are you going to do. Will you come unto the Lord Jesus Christ today? Will you truly accept this call into holiness? Because God is calling you to holiness. It says in many different texts, and reflects this, in verse 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God said, "For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Let me share with you one of the most wonderful texts of Scripture in my life. I love Romans chapter 6. Listen to this. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For he that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members, instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." This is a wonderful text of Scripture. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. To the end that he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints."